Brother Jim, for praying for the speaker, and Brother Brown. He almost gave the lesson tonight in his prayer. So that means that he's listening, and according to the scriptures, he knows what the lesson is about. So thank you, brothers. So tonight's lesson, if you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd like to talk a little bit about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We might ask ourselves, is he coming? Will that day ever come? That's what we want to talk about tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you read the whole chapter, the chapter 15 is considered the resurrection chapter because the Apostle Paul here talks about the death, he talks about the gospel, and he says in 15, beginning with verse 1 through 4, he says that the gospel is what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, why is this important? Because when Jesus comes for the second time, if Jesus was able to die, to be buried, and to resurrect on the third day, when Jesus comes for the second time, what does Scripture say? For those that have passed away in Christ, they will resurrect. And we'll see how here in chapter 15, this is why the Apostle Paul also talks about death. That death has no hold on us just because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's gone to the cross. He's died for our sins so that we may have an opportunity of eternal life with God. And so let's go to chapter 15, beginning with this, verse 50. The Apostle Paul here, what I wrote down is that the Apostle Paul here, what he tries to show us here, that because of Jesus was buried and died, was buried and resurrected, that this is what we need to base our hope on in this life, because Jesus is coming for the second time. Now, we must believe that he is coming, and just like Jesus has resurrected from the dead, and we can also read Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. But here in 1 Corinthians, what I'd like to talk about here in these verses is the transformation that has to happen, the physical transformation that happens to us. And this is what the Apostle Paul explains to us. Let's begin with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. He says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So let's stop there for just a minute. The Apostle Paul tells us in verse 50, and the reason he tells us this in verse 15, he's going to explain them in the rest of the verses. He says that flesh and blood, this physical body, cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So we cannot enter that place that God has prepared for us in this flesh. And so the Apostle Paul tells us here that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, how does it use the word sleep in this verse? Death. So what do we know by this verse? What is it telling us about that day when Jesus comes for the second time? That there will be human beings alive. There will be people alive on that day. But then he says, but we shall all be changed. We have to remember what he's telling us in verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he tells us here in the last part of 51,
we shall all be changed.
So if this body cannot enter into heaven, this physical body has to be done away with. Verse 52, he tells us, he says, it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this corruptible has to put on what? Incorruption is what the Apostle Paul is telling us. And so for those that are not, have not passed away, that will be alive, they will be what? They will be changed. They will be transformed, is what the Apostle Paul is telling us. And he's telling us here in verse 52 that it will happen. How quick will this happen? In a twinkling of an eye is the example that he gives us. And I always say this when I read this verse. How fast can you, open and shut your eyes? And I think that it's even going to be quicker than that when this is going to happen. This transformation that has to happen. And remember again that we have to go back to the first verses where it talks about that Jesus has died and Jesus has resurrected, because he tells us here in these verses, he talks about death. But let's continue in verse 53. He says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And before we talk about this verse, I'd like to go back to verse 52 and talk just a little bit about, I passed up the middle part of that verse. That this will happen in a twinkling, in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Now, my question is, who shall hear this trumpet, according to Scripture? Who shall know about the coming, the second coming of Christ? Is it only going to be us? Scripture says that every knee shall what? Bow to him, and every eye shall see him. So this is what I wanted to emphasize too in this verse. When the trumpet shall sound, everyone is going to be present. Go back to verse 54. And this is why we put our hope in Jesus Christ, that he was able to die and to be buried and to resurrect on the third day, because when this day comes, we will be able to put on incorruption. And the Apostle Paul reminds us here, he says, and he's talking about death, he says, death, where is thy sting? In other words, not even death will be able to hold us down, because the Apostle Paul is telling us that we will what? We will rise. Those that are dead shall rise. And another question that I pose tonight is, we always hear at funerals, we hear that, a person has passed away and he's up with God. He's in heaven with God. According to the Scriptures, is that true? Is it a true statement? You don't have to answer. Just think about that question. Let's turn over to 2 Peter, because I'd like to read the verses that were read tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3. So in 1 Corinthians, we've talked about the body and the transformation that has to happen because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 2 Peter, Peter talks about the time and the events that are going to happen. He gives us a little bit more detail of what's going to happen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So it's giving us, the Apostle Peter is giving us a little bit more description here of what's going to happen on that day. But what we have to understand as well is what he says in verse 10, the first part of verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Do we have a date for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Does anyone in here have a date? Have people posed a date before? Yes, they have. Just in my lifetime, I think there's been like three or four predictions of the coming of, or the end of time, the end of the world. And when it doesn't happen, they predict another day. But the Apostle Peter here is telling us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We don't know when, but we are prepared for that day to come. And it comes as a thief in the night for those that are, what? Unprepared. And so he says in the second part, he says that, and this is pretty easy, I think it's self-explanatory, these verses. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So everything that we see on this earth, what's going to happen to it? According to Scripture, according to what the Apostle Peter is telling us here, is going to be no more. It's going to be burned up. So if we place our hope on earthly things, if we place our hope on something here, guess what's going to happen? It's going to vanish because everything on this earth will be burned according to the Apostle Peter. But he tells us in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So he's telling us, so now that we understand that this is going to happen, we need to what? We need to watch the way we live. We need to live a righteous life before God. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, we're looking for what? Are we looking and are we hoping? Do we have our hope based on something earthly? No, we don't. Or we shouldn't have it on something earthly because all this is going to be dissolved. And so the Apostle Peter is telling us that we should look to what? Heavenly things that God has prepared for us. Because everything here is going to be dissolved. We look for those new heavens and that new earth. So also, another question is, a lot of people out there think that there's going to be a kingdom or a new heaven or a new earth here on this earth. Now, if we read in 1 Corinthians, if we pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is talking about, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, because this is corruptible. This body is corruptible. Think about that. You know, if another new earth, physical earth, physical Jerusalem is waiting for us, sin will be there. What has Jesus done for us? What is he going to do away from us? And he talks about, this is why he talks about death. Where is thy sting? Because sin will continue to be there. What Jesus has done is he has done away with sin. And we read this in Revelation chapter 21. When we wait for that new heaven and that new earth with God. And so Peter is encouraging us. He tells us about the time and the events that are going to happen around us. But he encourages us, knowing that this is going to happen, we need to be faithful to God. 1 Thessalonians. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, talks about that our resurrection can only happen in Christ Jesus. So let's read verses 10 through 4. I'm sorry, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul tells the brethren here in Thessalonica, he tells them, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Here we see that word again, asleep, for those that have passed on before us, those that have died physically, for those which are asleep, that you sorrow, what? Sorrow not. Why? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we see here that we sorrow for those that have passed away before us, but he says, do not sorrow as those that have what? Have no hope. Are there people in this world that die without hope in their lives? We have hope in God through his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling these brethren, and he's telling us. So he says, because Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord, he gives us a little bit more detail here as well. The Apostle Paul, for on that day, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. We see here again that it's like that trumpet sound that every ear shall hear, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What's going to happen to those that are dead? They're going to resurrect from the dead. What's going to happen to those, and I'd like to say that, you know, for those of us that are still alive, I'll include me myself in being alive, because we are alive at this time. What's going to happen for those that are living? Are we going to go before those that have died? No. We know that there's going to be a transformation. There's going to be a change, because this physical body cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us here that the dead shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise. And those that are still alive will be what? Will be changed. And verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Also, if you read Acts chapter 1, when Jesus appears to his 12 apostles, And as he's talking to them, you know, he tells them not to leave Jerusalem. And he's giving them instructions. And at that time, scripture says that he's what? He ascends into heaven. And two men are standing there and tell the apostles, what do they tell? What is told to them? Just like you've seen him ascend, you will see him come back, descend. And we see that verse 17 says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Can we imagine that? And I've always said this, brothers, when I read this as well, I always think about this. If you're standing when Jesus comes for the second time, if we're standing looking up and we're not in the air to meet him, guess what? So this is what the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter are telling us and reminding us that because we know that this day will come, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be righteous before God. And he says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Talk about our home. And I won't read those verses because I'd like to read another verse for a closing. But as it was read tonight, it talks about what? That new Jerusalem, that place with God. What's going to happen there? What's it going to be like when we're there with God? It says that there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. He will be our God. So we see what awaits us in heaven. What God has done for us and for this world if we obey the gospel. The last verses that I'd like to read are in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. And I think that these two verses kind of sum tonight's lesson. They sum everything up. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And so tonight we pose the question, are we prepared for that second coming of Christ? Because that day will come. God gives us the opportunity to repent. God gives us every opportunity to obey the gospel. And so hopefully tonight's lesson will open our minds and help us and encourage us to be faithful, to live a faithful life before God. So tonight the invitation is made. If there's a need among us, we invite you to come as we stand and sing hymn number 342.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom all hold dear now is at stake. Him will be heart to God, safe from the unseen rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many